Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
The King's Highway subway station is a long way from Ferrer's home in Riverdale. He gets here at 8, half an hour after a gaggle of bleary-eyed teenagers from the local Democratic Club. He's here to catch the morning rush crowd before they dash through the turnstiles to grab the B train to Manhattan. The locals are polite, but confused.
How are you? You look familiar. On TV all the time?
I'm trying.
You're trying?
Yeah.
What are you running for? Senate?
Mayor.
Mayor? Oh, really?
Yes.
Really? Oh, that's wonderful.
I need your help.
Yeah, you got it. Bloomberg's not doing the right thing by us city workers. Sorry.
In 2001, Ferrer cast himself as the champion of the other New York. That was widely interpreted to mean he was the candidate of blacks, Latinos, and the poor, groups that felt alienated in Rudy Giuliani's New York. In 2005, the emphasis has shifted. Ferrer's campaign posters, affixed to everything that's vertical this sunny August morning, say, "Fernando Ferrer, for all of us, for a change." The message, in a city where the mayor is a billionaire, Ferrer can connect with the working stiff. Like city worker Ed Vanessis, who tells Ferrer his pay is docked when the subways slow down.
Because last week, I was late, constantly three times.
I'm on the subways all the time, too. And I'll tell you something.
Like a very bad.
The delays. And what do they want to do? They want to give the money away to build a platform over the
railroad. Well, that's what he wants to do, this mayor. He wants to build things, move out the working class people.
As the Democratic frontrunner, Ferrer tends to be the beneficiary of whatever anti-Bloomberg sentiment there is. At the Say Chicken Kosher restaurant, the proprietor, a lanky man in a food-stained shirt who will only give his name as David, offers his hand to Ferrer.
How you feeling?
Okay, I hope you beat Bloomberg terribly, but all the parking you need, no parking at all.
With your help, I will.
You have my help, but you have to beat him because this is ridiculous with me.
Thanks.
He's killing us here. He'd be amazed walking all day here.
You know, I hear that all the time. It's not only in front of, like, the churches on Sunday. It's everywhere.
Everywhere. He's only out one thing.
Ferrer likes to take the bits he hears from citizens and incorporate them into his campaign rap. Later in the day, he'll gripe to a Russian radio reporter about ticket blitzes. But now he's jumping into his car for a little nosh on the ride over to work at three supermarkets.
Please tell me there's coffee in here. Please, please, please.
Here you go.
Bless you. Bless you. Bless you.
Coffee for you, donuts for me. You know the rules.
All of them are for you?
Good morning, shoppers. Welcome to Food Town. In case you haven't heard, Freddie Ferrer is here saying hello.
In one of the supermarkets, Ferrer's entourage seems larger than the number of shoppers. As he ambles down the aisles, the Democratic frontrunner stops not for voters, but to examine a jug of orange juice.
Well, that's a good price. $2.50 for 96 ounces? That's a very good price. Leap on that.
As he stands in the produce aisle, he gets the thumbs up from Vincent Coriello. Coriello knows he doesn't like Mayor Bloomberg, and he knows why. He's dubious about the mayor's jobs record. But when it comes to the Democrats, Coriello is less clear.
What do you think about, say, Gifford Miller? You like Gifford Miller?
Yeah, he's a Mill Basin boy.
That's Anthony Weiner.
Yeah, I know. He's got my vote.
Who has your vote?
The Mill Basin, the Democrat.
Weiner?
I go right through Democrat.
Not Mr. Ferrer? You're not sure?
Oh, Ferrer, yes, yes.
There are two sizable groups of voters that do seem sure of their votes, Bronxites and Latinos. Outside of Waldbaum's in Canarsie, Renicchio Viego rushes up to Ferrer, telling him unbidden that Ferrer has his vote. I ask him why. He's my countryman, Viego says, flashing a gapped-toothed smile. That's a point Ferrer is only lightly emphasizing this time around. Instead, in a senior center in Sheepshead Bay, he tells a familiar mid-century American story how the son of a single mom who lived in a fourth-floor walk-up ended up running for mayor of New York.
Everything I got, every opportunity I ever had, was given to me as a result of growing up on that beautiful block.
Back in his red campaign minivan, I note we've been to a subway stop, three grocery stores, walked the length of Avenue J, and visited a senior center, and most of New York hasn't even had lunch yet. Having already exited the political arena, why is he bothering with all of this?
I had no intention of running again for anything. I was having a great time.
Most people in the political class don't believe that. But Ferrer insists there was one thing that made him decide to try to unseat Mayor Bloomberg.
It was that absolutely obsessive quest for the West Side Stadium when so many other things needed to get done in this city. Things that I cared about, things that I thought he cared about.
Later that afternoon, he tapes a Spanish language radio ad. The candidate is remarkably on message this campaign, speaking in clear sound bites on his desire to create affordable housing and cut high school dropout rates. Even in areas where he's clearly conversant, he seems to prefer to speak in short, sometimes combative sentences rather than elaborate on his policy goals.
Oh, there is no housing plan for Hudson Yards. Is anybody around this table? Come on, you're all.
We're at a meeting of the board of directors of Housing First, a group that wants to push its goal of a $10 billion commitment to 200,000 units of affordable housing over the next 10 years. The group likes Ferrer's detailed housing plan, but it takes him an hour before he warms up. He's talking about his desire to cut tax breaks for developers of luxury housing and use those breaks to build middle-class housing instead. That's a better way to create a thriving city than pursuing sports stadiums, Ferrer says.
As they advance to the middle class in this city, they're paying more taxes, they got a bigger job, they're leaving more in the collection plate, they're shopping in neighborhood stores. That's all the good news of all of this, that they're doing that.
And then it's back in the minivan for a long trip to Brighton Beach for what organizers call the first ever candidates' debate for a Russian-American audience. Beforehand, a Russian reporter pulls him aside.
You look tired. What is the most tiring problems of the city of New York?
Well, actually, Victor, it's not the long hours. It's trying to come up with ways how to deal with the crisis of housing affordability in this city, the unconscionably high number of children who are dropping out of high school and need to improve education.
Attention, please. Would you please take your
All the Democrats show up for this event, which packs the large national restaurant on Brighton Beach's main drag. Much of the crowd doesn't speak English and talks through the program to frequent shushing. But the candidates plow through, reiterating their campaign bromides. And then it's back in the minivan to do it all over, every day, until September 13th. And, Ferrer hopes, beyond. For WNYC, I'm Andrea Bernstein.